Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, March 27th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by Jen McNally, Natural Resource Groundwater Educator with UW-Madison Extension. Jen, always good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James. Happy to be here.
Jen and I are going to throw out our outline and just talk Badger hockey the rest of the show.
Absolutely. My squeaky voice, it was proof that I was busy yelling at the game on Sunday. So
We spent a lot of our pregame talking about the UW Badgers ladies hockey team, but congratulations them again. That had to have been so much fun to take it. I'm so jealous. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Unbelievable game to watch.
So. We do have a job to do, I guess. But we do have a really, you always bring in great topics for us and ones that I think are interesting, but also really informative. And this one right now, and I don't know if this timed out well for you or you timed it out well, but we are a little worried about flooding and some things right now with some of the change we're having from winter to spring and
absolutely.
Some of that. So our main topic today is groundwater, Jen.
It is. It happens to be just lucky timing on behalf of everything.
Works
that happened.
Out.
Yeah. But the beginning of March is actually National Groundwater Awareness Week. And so that's why I was like, oh, this seems to fit well. And the flooding thing just happens to be, this time of year as everything is melting and people generally start thinking about water in the spring anyway.
This is a terminology that most people hear and they just keep moving. But I think getting into what groundwater is really helpful and really informative for people because, to be honest, I was one of these people. I kind of feel like I knew what groundwater was. I start reading over your notes, doing like 2 seconds of homework, and I'm like, oh, okay. I need to talk to Jen. I need to know a little bit more about this. So it really was one of those things that was very eye-opening to me.
Yeah, we talk about it frequently or we hear it in news and articles and don't really take the time to, I think, always process what that means. And so groundwater actually, especially for us here in central Wisconsin, is kind of an easy thing. It's essentially water that's stored underground. It's in the name, groundwater. That doesn't mean I want to take a minute to clarify. There are no underground lakes or rivers or streams down there. I think it was an old Hams commercial that had, you know, groundwater coming
great
from
reference.
Canada.
Great
That doesn't exist. So really all it is it's water that's stored in between the soil particles or the rocks that are underground. So that is really kind of simple as what it is. The ground essentially acts like a sponge and water soaks into it and it fills up those spaces. Once the spaces are all completely filled with water, that's what we call an aquifer. Some of you have maybe heard of that in terms of like drinking water and stuff. So that aquifer is just where those spaces are filled. And actually here in Wood County, 100% of their residents get their drinking water from aquifers and groundwater.
Wow.
Which make it kind of an important topic to be talking about.
Absolutely. So, wow. Yeah. And that I think would be eye-opening to a lot of people not knowing that. That's very
exactly.
interesting.
Exactly. Especially when we have such a big like Wisconsin River here. I think sometimes the consumption is like that's where our drinking water comes from. And it really isn't. We're pumping it up from underground. So
does groundwater move, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. It does not stay in one place. Nothing ever really does. So groundwater is kind of lazy. It likes to go from points of high elevation to low elevation. So wherever it soaks into, it's going to be trying to get to the lowest point on the landscape. Speaking of which, those lowest points are typically places like the Wisconsin River out there. And so groundwater is naturally trying to discharge or flow out to those places. So in central Wisconsin, we say on average groundwater moves about a foot per day on average, which is actually kind of quick in the grand scheme of things of how fast it moves. I am going to throw in a super fun fact here that I kind of geek out a little bit about. We live in kind of a unique area. So I'm sure most of folks have heard of like the Continental Divide out in the Western U.S. Mm-hmm. We actually have the Subcontinental Divide. So the second largest divide in the U.S. right over east in Portage County.
Whoa.
Yeah. So where the Green Bay lobe of the glaciers came down, it stopped partway through Portage County. And when it stopped, it deposited a whole bunch of material. So if you drive east, like towards Appleton, you'll go up and over a really big hill. That is the terminal moraine where that glacier stopped. And that is a subcontinental divide.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I know,
that's
right?
That's amazing.
Things you never knew about your backyard, right?
Just blew my mind. Whoa.
The reason it's so important to groundwater is because that subcontinental divide actually divides where water flows. So east of that hill in Portage County, it flows towards Lake Michigan and goes out towards, you know, the Atlantic Ocean. In the western part of Portage County and all of Wood County, we're in the Mississippi River Basin, and that's flowing out towards the Gulf of Mexico. So major divide in terms of where water flows and how it affects the larger U.S. and world. So.
It's, you know, we started talking about this as informative information, but I told you there'd be some fun stuff in here.
Right?
And that
exactly.
is so interesting. I did not know that. That is really, really interesting.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool fun fact.
Now, where does groundwater come from exactly, Jen?
Sure. So groundwater, will originate from precipitation. So rain, in our case, snow lately, sleet, yeah. anything that's falling down. And once that precipitation hits the ground, it really has two places to go. Either it's going to run off the land surface or it's going to soak in. When it soaks in, then it becomes groundwater. So really precipitation is our biggest source of that. And it's a really local resource, meaning that it comes from pretty close by. So like, if you're wondering the general area that contributes, like, say, to your own private well on your property, you can usually go out about a half mile, and that's about where the water that feeds into your well is coming from. So super close. It's not coming from far away, which makes it kind of unique in that respect to think about, like, we're influencing our water resources on a very small scale.
Something to keep in mind as well, with what we're doing with the land.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Hmm. And there are a number of factors that'll influence, like, how far or how fast it'll travel. Big ones are the type of geology and soils that it's traveling through. So for folks in, like, southeast Wood County, they have more sandy soils. Mm-hmm. That's going to be much quicker. Water is going to, you know, if you've ever played in a sandbox, you kind of know that water soaks into sand really easy, and it can travel very quickly. Also makes it super easy to pump out of the ground down there, which is why we've got a lot of irrigation and irrigated agriculture in those parts. If you go to areas like Rudolph in Wood County, you're going to see, like, especially this time of year, a lot more standing water on the landscape. And that's because those soils have more clay in it. Again, if you've ever played with clay,
exactly.
you know that water doesn't soak into it very easily. So it can explain even what's happening and what you see happening on our landscape with our water as well, which is kind of cool.
Very, very. And unique to hear with the, you know, because it's one of those things we've really kind of normalized in this area. But just even taking Rapids or central Wisconsin here, we've got so many different types of soil and land in this area.
Yeah,
going back to the glacier that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
and everything.
And that's really the biggest driving force with those glaciers that shaped our landscape. Yeah, and it can vary wildly from one place to another. So
I am a sucker for anything history related and especially this kind of topic with the way that our we have Canadian soil here and things like that and all that, how that evolved. It's just fascinating to me. For this one in particular, there's another part of this I wanted to get into and why groundwater is important.
Yeah.
Because this is part of where all this ties together.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it was like we said, 100% of folks in Wood County get their drinking water from groundwater, which makes it, like, in my opinion, super important because that's where we're getting our drinking water from. But the other thing is as that groundwater is moving, it's discharging to those surface waters. And so even the water that we see on the landscape is being fed by groundwater. And so when it comes to talking about, like, management of water resources in Wood County, we consider them really one resource because our groundwater is feeding into those surface waters. Our surface waters are feeding into our groundwater. So if you enjoy recreating on, like, say, the Wisconsin River or the local lakes, that's another great reason to care about groundwater, is because those two things are so closely tied together.
There's, man, the layers to this topic. Because immediately, one of the things I can't help but the way my brain works and doing this show for so many years is, you know, I understand our audience fairly well. And one of the things we know, there's a lot of people that are really engaged with this conversation and listening. And there are people maybe who are listening and like, well, what does this have to do with me or how does this affect my life? Do you pay taxes?
Yeah.
Do you care about our economy? Because so much of the economy here in Wisconsin is water-based.
Yes.
Whether we're talking water activities or we have the world's largest water park in this state.
Yeah, right?
You know, exactly. It plays a pretty big factor in here. And an even bigger factor when you think about the fact that up north, how much they've been hurt by the lack of snow.
Yeah.
And how much more dependent they are in the summer, spring months to bring people up north with water activities.
Yeah.
Among other things, of course, of what we're using it for cooking and cleaning and all this other stuff. Yeah, water's pretty great. Water's pretty important.
Yep.
And with the topic of PFAS that has been quite prevalent mm-hmm. over the last couple of decades, where I think it's every other time I have Representative Krugen, we're talking about it.
Yeah,
absolutely. This is one of those, one of the bigger topics when it comes to that affects everybody. And we can say very comfortably, there's nobody out there listening that isn't affected by water and why this is important. And I think you've done an amazing job of kind of giving us details of that, Jen. What I would like to do with the time remaining we have is put a real focus on how we can help protect our groundwater
sure.
and what we can do to be a part of the solution of
yeah,
this.
Absolutely. I think you made a really good point when you said that this affects everyone. So, you know, I always like to point out to folks that we never get any new water on our planet. We keep reusing the same water that we have for decades and eons and millions of years.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but you set me up so perfectly.
Oh, good.
One of my favorite lines in TV history in The Sopranos, he says to his son, buy land, God ain't making any more of it.
That's exactly it. It is the exact same thing with water.
It's a great reminder of that, though.
Right?
You know,
exactly.
Really
we always think, you know, when it rains, oh, there's fresh water. Well, no, it's just continuing to go through the water cycle. And so we really have to be extremely careful with what we have and how we use it. And so I think one of the biggest things that people can do is simply to be aware, you know, and to understand how what we're doing on the landscape affects our water resources potentially. So I think just kind of understanding and kind of keeping that in the back of your head can really help with things like that. And so, you know, there's simple things that people can do in their everyday lives. Whatever we put on the land and however we use the land is going to affect groundwater because either A, it's going to run off of the land surface or it's potentially going to soak in to the ground. And so that's for things like fertilizers or chemicals, oil, gas, you know, any of those things that we think about. Yeah. Salt is another one you and I have talked about in the past that most people don't necessarily think of as like contaminating,
right.
But not great in large amounts. And so we really want to be cognizant when we're putting those things or applying them that we're not applying too much or that we're not disposing of them in a way that really harms them.
This area in particular has been pretty on this point, and mm-hmm. especially with our, you know, we have a couple of events every year where you can dispose of these kind of things.
Yeah.
Some of that yep. I see, I don't see that in as many areas. So I'm very proud of that and I appreciate
yeah.
that. It's also something that we're all, and this isn't just our area, all of us are late to this.
Yeah,
we're all making up lost time on this one. This is a topic that we're not ahead of the curve on. We're behind on this one.
Yeah.
So all the more reason why we really need to be on these things going forward. And it's part of the reason why not only do I love talking to you and talking to somebody that knows what they're talking about with this topic, but the insight that you have to things that I don't think a lot of us would have thought of, even that are engaged with these topics. As I mentioned earlier, I've been talking about clean water and PFAS for almost 10 years now on the air here. With one thing I did not think about though is our septic systems.
Yeah.
You know, we it is water. I mean, we know
right?
that, but
yeah.
I don't put that connection there very often.
No. And a lot of folks, why would you necessarily think about it? But so one of the common misconceptions I think with septic systems is that they treat water like our utilities treat our water or clean it up. And that really isn't the job of septic systems at all. Their main job is to settle out all of the solids that are flushed down the toilet. So, you know, solid waste material, toilet paper, those type of things. That's what that first septic tank is for, is that those solids settle out of there. And then the water, generally, depending on the type of septic system you have, is discharged directly into the ground. And that portion of the septic system is designed to treat bacteria that can make people sick. It doesn't take out chemicals. It doesn't take out nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus that naturally come from our waste stream. It doesn't treat things like pharmaceuticals. So we also really want to be careful, like if you have a private septic system, what you're dumping down your drains even. So super harsh chemicals can be really hard. Greasy material is not always great for that. And then things like pharmaceuticals that sometimes, you know, we're told to flush them because that's a way to dispose of them that isn't going to put, you know, other people at risk from consuming them. But that really is not great for our water resources where we can actually test and detect those materials
The harmfulness of those pharmaceutical products, it defeats the point. You know, if you're throwing it into your tank and everything, you're just kind of like, you know, in putting it into our earth, if anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why those events are so important. And we'll be talking more about those as we hear more about our Renew events and some of those. But I do want to thank all the volunteers and all the people that host those and do those events. You're hearing more and more from Jen here of how important that is.
Yeah. So, you know, our solid hazardous waste events, those pickups, and then like the pharmaceutical take back programs or like through the sheriff's department and stuff. Those are great options for people to utilize to get rid of those without kind of putting them back into our water resources. So definitely be on the lookout for those in the local communities.
Another thing to keep aware of, and I think this is maybe one of the more familiar ones to people, but a great reminder and some other notes on about how much water we use.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a little hard to talk about that when we got spring and flooding going on out there right now. We got too much. So, you know, that the aquifers fluctuate up and down with how much precipitation we use. In dry years, those aquifers are naturally going to be a little bit lower. In wet years, they're going to naturally be a little bit higher. And so sometimes we don't always think about it in terms of how much water we use. But if we are using excessively large amounts of water, especially in those dry times of years, that can really put a stress not only on our aquifers, but they're also the ones that are feeding our surface waters. And that's why we sometimes see like really low surface water levels happening is because they're not being fed by as much groundwater. Huh. It goes back to that whole, we never get any new water kind of thing either too. So it's, you know, the old adage that we used to hear when we were kids about shut the water off when you brush your teeth. There is a lot of value in that and just being aware of how much we're utilizing.
You know, and something else that that occurs to me with this, Jen, two things really. One, none of these side effects may include. Like, there's no real downside to doing all of these things. It's not as if you do any of these things, everything Jen has said here, and there's some like side effect to it or anything like that. They're all positives. Sometimes they're positives you may not be able to see, but you can taste in your water or feel in your water. And a big thing with this one that I really want to hit home to people, and I do this anytime this subject really comes up, and subjects like this. Mm-hmm. In our day-to-day lives, we hear of so many issues and so many different things going on. And every person that has a cause that they care about, they want to tell you that this is the biggest cause in the world, and I don't blame them, because it is to them, and I understand that. There are a few topics that literally touch every one of us and affect every single person out there, man, woman, child, red, yellow, purple, whatever color you are, whatever age range you are, who you vote for, what you are in your tax bracket, it don't matter, water don't care. It affects all of us, and this is universally one of those topics. And with that, I imagine it can seem pretty overwhelming sometimes, and like, oh, well, how do you fix something like that? Well, here's the beauty of all of this, everybody, that we can do that. We have the power to be able to do that, and we don't need to wait to do these things. We don't need to, you know, have a bill passed or something like that. This is something that every individual out there listening, we can all make an impact on this.
Absolutely. And it's relatively small changes, too. Yeah. It's not radical shifts in how you live your life or anything, which I think is so refreshing sometimes.
Years ago, my mom and dad really were adamant about shower times. Mm-hmm. And I remember at first, my sister and I are in high school. So, of course, this is, how dare you, all this.
The world will end.
Yes, exactly. We're still doing it. Like, I mean, spoiler alert, it was a long time. High school was a long time ago. But we're still doing this. Even living on my own, I find myself doing this. These things really... Once you start doing them, they just become so routine and helpful, especially when it comes to disposing of some of these things like Jen was talking about, where we understand for a long time, people just didn't know any better or just didn't, you know, did what they did.
No, gosh, the pharmaceutical thing, I think it's even come about in terms of like the length of my career, which has not been that long. You know, we started being able to detect these things and figure out, these things aren't just disappearing. They're sticking around and we can still find them. So
I think taking away any guilt or shame or judgment on these things is really important because we're all learning. We're all trying to get this to, we're all on the same page here. Yeah. I believe that we want clean water. We want a clean planet.
Yeah.
So working together on this one is important and certainly sharing information, the things we've heard today, share this interview with those that you know out there. And Jen, if people want to learn more about some of what we talked about today, how can they do that?
So there's some really great resources. So if you're more interested in kind of the technical information of like what the heck is groundwater or even drinking water for that matter, a couple of great resources to go to. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, always a good one when it comes to anything natural resources related. So you can simply go to the DNR.gov website and put in groundwater into their search bar and all sorts of things are going to pop up. One that a lot of folks may not be familiar with is the Wisconsin Geologic and Natural History Survey. So they specialize in geology and soils, but they also specialize in how water interacts with those things. And they have some really fantastic resources. They are also part of Extension. So you can find them through our website. The Wood County Extension website has some resources related to groundwater and drinking water. Of course, my contact information is on there, and I am always happy to talk about groundwater. So I'm a good place. But there are, in fact, some citizen groups out there, too, you know, and talking about what the heck can people do about this. If they are really passionate about it, I would encourage them to find, you know, a group of like-minded people that might be able to support them. So the Citizens Water Group of Wood County is a good one. And you can find them on their Facebook page is the best way to get a hold of them. So
encourage you to do that, everybody. The website wisc.edu is where you can go for all kinds of extension information. So much of what we talked about today and to reach out to Jen. Can't thank you enough for the information and the time. Great talking to you.
Perfect. Thanks, James.
Jen and I are going to talk UW Badger hockey now. We'll be back with more show coming up on the morning or on the Midday Magazine here.